Okay, we're picking up on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the very first words of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We were in the middle of kashas that Abaye had and Rabba. Again, Rabba was of the opinion in yesterday's Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. He said that one is allowed to move a non-mukta item for the sake of a mukta item, but that would only be in a situation that would be common. If it's common, hatzala mitsuya, then it would be mutter. Then if it was a common loss, and then doing so would be allowing you to move the non-mukta item for the sake of the mukta item. However, hatzala she'ina mitsuya, he said lo hitiru, that we do not allow you to take the precautions of moving the non-mukta item for the uncommon losses. So we explained again yesterday why that would be, but the Gemara is now challenging. Abaye had a series of challenges. He has a few more kashas on the Shita, and Rabbah is going to deflect all of them. Gemara says, Esi vei, he asked the kasha on the following Mishnah now. Kofin ka'ara laner shelo yochaz bikora. So this is the Mishnah on Kof Chaval from Aleph. The Mishnah says that someone is allowed to turn over a bowl over a lamp in order that it not set fire to a beam above you. So now, again, the beam is mukta. Why? Because it's mukta. It's considered machmas atzmo. It's considered something that's generally used for just being part of a building. So it's not something that has a purpose for you on Shabbos. So therefore, it's muksa. But yet, we still allow you to move it in a situation where even something that's not common to be in danger of catching fire, we permit you to move the bowl for the sake of protecting the beam. And the bowl, again, is not mukta, and the beam is mukta machmas kufo. So that would be seemingly a problem against Rabba Shita. So Rabba answers, bevate gichine deshchiach behut leika. Now we're talking about a house that has low ceilings. Gachin is small, low, short usually. So it's here, it's about low ceilings. That means the shchiach b'dleika, that fires are very common when it's extremely low. If you have a ceiling only 4 foot high, then it's very common that if you light a fire, it's very easy that those wooden beams can easily catch fire. So therefore, it's common and no kasha on my shita. So we have another kasha, the v'chein korah shenishbura. The Mishnah says also, Nun Aleph, the Mishnah tells us that if you have a beam that broke on Shabbos, a beam that broke, you're allowed to support it with a bench or with sideboards of a bed. This is assuming, obviously, that you're dealing with a beam that broke on Shabbos itself. Rashi points out, because if the beam broke, if the beam could have been dealt with before Shabbos, we would not allow you to do this. And this was, again, to stop you from allowing the rest of the house to collapse. So we're allowing you to do this, but seemingly this is not something that happens a lot. That's what the Gemara was assuming, that the bench or bed is not commonly broken. However, Rabba answers, no, we're talking about a case. We're dealing with a new and untied beam, which obviously is something that's new and untied. It's very often it could break, and the roof is first put on it. You don't check it out. So it is common, that situation, that it could break. And therefore, since it was common, we allowed you to put something under it. So the Gemara has another kasha. Nosin kli tachas hadelef b'Shabbos. Another Mishnah that says you're allowed to put a vessel under a leaking water on Shabbos. Now leaks are something we're assuming is uncommon, and the water of leaking water that you're putting into this vessel that you're holding, your kli, is going to be considered muksa. Why? Because it's dripping rainwater is very gross usually. It's not something that people would drink. So then you're ruining the kli is going to become muksa. So he answered, the Mishnah is answering with the house that is not built so well, and it often does leak, and therefore this case was something that's matsui, and that's why it's mutter. So the Gemara finishes now with Rabba. Now the Gemara is going to suit another shita. Rav Yosef gives a different reason. Rav Yosef says, Haida Tamar de Rav Chista. This is the reasoning of Rav Chista, who said that it's usher. Again, he's the one who said that it's usher to place a utensil under the hen in order to receive the eggs. So he's saying, no, Mishum de Kamevata Kli Mehechano. Different reason. Nothing to do with moving a non-mukta item for the sake of a mukta item. In fact, there's those who assume that he would hold that there is no such issue. Rav Chista would permit to move a non-mukta item for a mukta item. So even if it's something that's uncommon, he would allow it. He's extremely makel. However, there's a different reason that it's usher over here. You're ruining the kli. The kli is considered prepared, and you've now ruined its status, and that's called mevatel kli meichano, and you're taking its state of being prepared, and you're turning it into, so there's a shaila, why is mevatel kli meichano going to be usher? There's two interpretations that we saw. So Rashi before seemed to indicate that it's similar in Meiri, that it's similar to bona, because you've now created that you cannot move this kli. So it's like a permanent fixture for at least Shabbos itself. This is is again only darbanan. So this is, it looks like you've created a spot with this miyuchad for this kli. It looks like bonus. So that's why mevatel kli mechano is aser. However, Tosfos over here seem to assume that the issue is because you're doing a basis l'davar aser. You're now making it into a base for mukta, which is considered a basis. That's considered a different problem of mukta. So that was either way that's something that's aser, and that's where Rav Chisda holds that this is problematic. So the Gemara now says Abaye has a lot of shaylos and reviews as well. So Esiv Abaye Chavit Shel Tevah Shnishma Mevek Kliacher Manef Tachtea. So we had the following price that we saw before as a kasha, that if you have a barrel of tevel and it broke, you can bring another kli and place it under the broken barrel in order to save the contents. But tevel, we said before, tevel is again produce that truma or meiser wasn't taken off, so it's usher to eat on Shabbos, so it's not designated for Shabbos, so it's considered mukta. Yet the price allow you to put a non-mukta kli under it, and even though it's now considered mevatel kli meichano, seemingly you're ruining the, it's no longer a kli, you're not allowed to move because it has mukta tevel in it. So the Gemara answers, Amarlei, Tevel Muchanu Tzah Shabbos. No, Tevel really fundamentally is considered prepared for Shabbos. Why? Shemavah V'sikna Mesukan. Because someone had violated Din and actually taken off Trumah V'Meiser, it's considered his actions done, and therefore it's Mutter. So the Rishonim discussed over here, what is Rav Yosef really driving at? So the Rashba says a very interesting spar. The Rashba says that he's saying that Midda Oraisa, there is no problem of taking off Truma O'Meiser on Shabbos. It's only a Gzera Darbanan because it looks like Tikkun Mana. It looks like you're fixing something and it's like putting a final touch. Like Tikkun Mana is a Din D'Oraisa. But it looks like here you're not actually doing the it's edible. You're just not allowed to for a Sibat study, a side reason. You're not allowed to eat this apple. So that is a side point. But that fundamental Midda Oraisa is not a problem. So since Midda Oraisa, I'm allowed to eat it. So then says Rav Yosef that therefore, it's considered a mukha to prepare it on Shabbos midaraisa, and it's only a gzira darabana that makes it muksa, so we're not going to be as machmir about it as that. And his proof for that was showing that if you do take off the tevel, your maisa is chal. What you have done is chal. That is the shita of the Rashba. Others have different explanations, but that's what we'll go with about why tevel is considered mukhan. So we see that Rav Yosef deflected the kasha. And where is another kasha though? Nostin kli tachasaner lekabel nitzoytzoys. So we learned that also you're not allowed to place a vessel under a lamp in order to catch the sparks. Now the sparks are, what we said before, considered mukta because it's something that's coming out and making it mukta. It's something that's not ready for Shabbos. So why is it not an issue of putting the kli there? Your kli is now mukta. So it says the Gemara, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yishun, it doesn't even have sparks and no substance. All you're doing is making sure that it doesn't cause a fire by making sure it doesn't hit your wooden table. So you put a tin tray over there, but that's not considered. Rashi points out, Rashi says that you're allowed to move it after that point because the sparks have no mamash over there. You've been no issue of moving this kli. So therefore, says Rav Yosef, there's no problem and it's not going to be usher. So continues the Gemara now. We have another kasha though. V'chein korish nishbra. In a case regards a beam that broke on Shabbos, you're allowed to use it as a support to the bench or the sideboards of a bed. We saw before that we're assuming that you're putting it under the beam, you no longer are able to move it because you're mevatel mechano, because it's considered now supporting the other beams. So the Gemara in the Mishnah says it's mutter. Why isn't it a problem mevatel kli mechano? So the Gemara answers, derafe de iboy shakile. We're talking about something that was done loosely. If it was done loosely and you now want to remove it, so it would know it's not really supporting it fully, therefore it's considered mutter. However, in a Hanami, it seems to be that Rav Yosef would agree that if there's something that you stuck under mamash, you won't be able to move it, that would be usher. So the Gemara now says, we have another kasha by ask. Nostin kli tachas adlaf b'shabes. You could put a vessel under the leaking rainwater. So we saw before that we had a kasha on Rabbos. Now we have a kasha on Rabbi Yosef on this also. Again, all these were the things that we asked before because they had similar shitas for why this should be aser. So he's saying, now Rabbi Yosef answered, no, we're dealing with leaking water that is suitable, that this situation of the Mishnah was talking about all this, the water that was not dirty, so that you can drink from the water that's coming into the kli, so then obviously the kli is not going to be mukta. It's the perfectly good drinking water. So the Gemara is another kasha, the kofin is a salaf ne'ai frochen she'alav yerdu. So we have a kasha that could someone turn over a basket in front of the birds so that they're not going to climb up and down. Their nest onto your thing. So now the birds are mukta, right? Because why birds mukta? Living creatures in general, all animals are mukta. So shayla about walking a dog, it's an agav point. Touching a dog, touching all animals are mukta because there's no purpose for them. They're considered They're considered, you can't eat them, you can't shech them. Yantim might be a different shalom, but on what's it called, on Shabbos for sure, they're going to be considered mukta. So if they're going to climb on your basket, you're created them mevatel klimei chano. So Rav Yosef answers, kasavar mutta l'taltlo. The time of the brisa holds, it's permitted to move the basket after the bird climbs off of it. That's what Rav Yosef seems to indicate. So it's only going to be mukta for the time that it's there. As long as it's not mukta the whole Shabbos, the Rishonim point this out, that we see from Rav Yosef, if something's going to be mukta for only part of Shabbos, and it created it to be mukta part of Shabbos, and not necessarily being the issue of mevatel klimei chano. Only if it's going to be mukta for the entire duration of Shabbos, would it be problematic. But the Gemara says about Tanya also Tartalo, the Braisa said that it's forbidden to move the basket. So Rav Yosef explains, no, but only while the birds are on it. But once the birds climb off, obviously it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, the Gemara keeps trying this with Tanya. The Braisa says, the birds are no longer there. It's still going to be Asr. You, Rav Yosef, said it's mutter when the birds go off. How could this be mutter? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abau, Be'od and Alav, Kol Ben Hashmashos. So the Braisa is referring to a case where the birds were on him throughout Ben Hashmashos, and then we're going to come to the following principle, that Migud is Katsai, the Ben Hashmashos is Katsai, the Kula Yoma. When something is considered Muksa for all of Ben Hashmashos, it's considered Muksa for the entire day, even if the reason doesn't apply anymore. This is a principle that comes up a few times in the Masechta. It's a general principle of mukta that if the object during Ben Hashmashos, the beginning of Shabbos, was not available for use on Shabbos, the entire time it's going to be mukta on Shabbos, even again if the reasoning no longer applies. So the birds, this entire duration of Hashmashos is out. They've been on Ben Hashmashos from Ben Hashmashos till Tzeis. They all became, they were all there. The bird was on this kli, the entire beginning of Shabbos, then until the twilight period, then it'd be usher. However, if they weren't there the entire twilight period, it would be mutter. So the Gemara now says, though, okay, that is it. So we deflected the kashas, and now the Gemara is going to move on to a different shita. Amar Yitzchak, we have a shita of Rav Yitzchak now who says, Kishem she'nosin kli tachas tarnagulas lekabel b'tzosser. Rav Yitzchak says that just like you're not allowed to put a vessel under the hen to receive the egg, so too, you're not allowed to put a vessel and turn it over so that it should not break. So the Gemara now is saying that he disagrees with Rav Chista, and he holds that you're not even allowed to move a non-mukta item for the sake of a mukta item either. The Gemara says, "Kasavar ain kli nitol el davar nitol b'shabbos." That a non-mukta utensil is not allowed to be moved only for the sake of a permitted purpose, but not for the sake of a mukta item. So therefore, he says you can't move it. So the Gemara now says, though, "Emesiv ekolam tiyufta." He asks all the kashas of all the braces that we said before that seem to permit the usage of moving a non-mukta item for the purpose of a mukta item, and even maybe in a situation where that was a bias all those kashas, even in something that might not even be common, for sure, generally you can move it. So the Gemara says, he answered all the kashas by saying that the person needed the place that the non-mukta item was there. There's a concept of tzarech kufo, tzarech mekomo by kli shemachta le'isr. He's been chadesh over here that kli shemachta heter obviously would also have that. That when a person needs the space of an item, let's say a hammer is on my table. So then obviously I'm allowed, if I want to eat the Shabbos meal, Friday night meal, then I'm allowed to move that hammer. Because that's called Kli Shemalat Lisr Mutta the Torah Kuva Torah Makoma. So Rav Yitzchak is explaining, and see, Rav Yitzchak explained that once I'm allowed to move it, I'm allowed to move it wherever I want. I don't have to move it to just a foot away. I can pick it up and move it wherever I want. And that's important halacha also. When you're allowed to move it, you're allowed to move wherever you want. So Rav Yitzchak is saying over here that generally I'm not allowed to move any kli, a fork or a spoon, for the purpose of the mukta item, to fix my mukta item, or leave it near the mukta item. However, if the fork or the spoon was on the table that I needed, eating, so that's a bad example, but whatever it might be, a mutter thing that I needed the space for, and then I'm allowed to pick up that item, the fork or the spoon, and move it to wherever I want, and that would be okay. So therefore, he is explaining, then this is why all those cases of the Mishnah Brisos is teaching you this chiddush, that once you have the non-mukta item, you can put it wherever you want, and that's what his chiddush is. So the Gemara now asks on Rav Yitzchak, so the Gemara says, Tashma, we can ask Akasha from the following Brisa. Achas beitza shenolda b'Shabbos, achas beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov, that concerning both an egg that was laid on Shabbos and an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, ein metaltelin lo lechasus bas akli v'losmach ba'kar ehamita. You're not allowed to move it, neither to cover the utensil with it, or to use it to support the legs of a bed with it. Now, how in the world are you using the the egg to support a bed. Rashi seems to understand that it's possible if you place the egg underneath the leg of the bed, when the egg is standing vertically, that it would be, or so much other, it'd still be strong enough to be able to not break in that position. Others say that maybe we're talking about the mitos of the beds that were of the times of the Gemara. They were like cup-like vessels. Okay, whatever it is, you're going to be using this egg to cover the bed, to use it to support the bed. So you're not allowed to move it for that purpose. However, you're is allowed to turn it over, or to turn over a kli, a vessel over the egg, so that it shouldn't break. So the Braisa seemingly permits moving a non-mukta kli in order for the sake of the mukta egg, so that we see that this is against the shita of Rav Yitzchak. So the Mishnah is all doing is a case where you needed the place of where the kli was, and since I'm allowed to move it, then I was allowed to move it. I was allowed to move it anyway to use it to support the to move it. To place it over the egg to protect it. So the Gemara now says, Tashma, another kasha on Rav Yitzchak, from the following Braisa, porcelain machtalos, al gabe avanim b'shabbos, you're allowed to spread mats over stones on Shabbos, use them to protect them from the rain. So these stones are obviously things that are used for klish machtalos, are used to be doing building, and Rashi says you're protecting them from the rain, because you don't want them to get ruined from the rain, so that right, and none of the seed, the mortar is going to be ruining them. Okay, so you're protecting them. You don't want them to get ruined, but yet you're allowed to spread the mat over them on Shabbos. But that is moving the mats are going to be non-mukta. You're moving for the sake of the mukta rocks. So it says the Gemara, Ba'avanim Mekuzarlos. We're talking about the tilted stones, pointed stones, the Chazal Beis Hakise that are going to be suitable for going to the bathroom. So that's what the Gemara says. Since you could use them for the bathroom, they're usable. That's what the people used to use stones instead of toilet paper. Imagine how comfortable that was. But Lamaisa, there is not necessarily mukta because it has a purpose on Shabbos. The Gemara says it continues. Tashma, porsin machtos agabi leveni b'Shabbos. You could spread mats over bricks on Shabbos to protect them from the rain, and the bricks don't get ruined. Right, like very similarly to what we saw before with the machtolos agabei avanim, so you don't want to get ruined either. So the Gemara now says the ishtar mibunya. No, we're talking about bricks that were left over after you already finished construction, and therefore dechazel amigza alayu, they're going to be suitable to use them. They used to recline. Kulanim misumin. Right, we just had the Pesach Seder where we all recline because that's what the people who used to do. That's how free people used to eat. So again, to use these bricks for reclining was helpful, so therefore it's not considered mukta at all. So the Gemara now says, Tashma, with another raya against Rav Yitzchak, Porsim Achtelos Agabe Kaveres Devorim B'Shabbos, you could spread a mat over a beehive on Shabbos, B'chamnei Achama V'Gshamnei Agashamim, in the sun in order to protect the hive from the sun, and in the rain to protect the hive from the rain, provided that one doesn't intend to trap the bees. A beehive is mukta. Why? Because it hosts the bees. It's considered basas davar asur, and hosting the bees is considered bees are mukta animals. We saw before are mukta. So yet you're still allowed to move the mat to protect the beehive over here. So it's the Gemara now says, "Achamai eskinan." What are we discussing with in this case over here? Teika dvash. We're talking about a case where the honey is in the hive, and since the honey is not mukta, you're allowed to spread the mat in order to protect the honey. So then the Gemara says over here, Amar Leh Mar Ukva Mimashian Le Ravashi. Ramukya said to Ravashi, Tenach Bichon Schama. I understand this during the summer. The Ikad Vash, because there's honey in the hive, so then you could cover it. However, Bimosak Eshamim Deleka Tvash, Maik Lomember. In the winter where there is no honey in the beehive, what's there to say? Why can you remove it over? Why would it be mutter for you to remove it in that situation? So, just a point so the Gemara says, so lo nitzricha el osan shtei chalos. No, so this is the Gemara's answer over here is that it's applicable in the case where you have two honeycombs that are left in the hive during the winter in order to sustain the bees. There's important to just note over here that bees don't leave their hives during the rainy season due to the rain and the lack of the blossoming plants. So the honeycombs are removed before the rainy season in the month of Tishrei. That's when they used to move them. However, their bees required some honeycombs in order to sustain themselves through the winter. So the number of honeycombs necessary is would depend on how big it is. So the Gemara was saying over here that in this situation, that it would be mutter to the honey is edible, so therefore a mat could be moved to protect in this situation. So the Gemara says the honeycombs are mukta because they're used to protect the bees, so you're not going to use them to eat them. The Gemara says the chashiv alayu, no, that the Braisa is dealing with a case where the person planned before Shabbos to use the two honeycombs to eat them, and therefore it's going to be mukta. They're not going to be mukta, therefore it's going to be mutter to eat them. So the Gemara says though halo chashiv alayu may, but in a situation where a person didn't plan to use them, what's going to be the halacha? So the Gemara answers, Asur. The Gemara answers that it is going to be usher. The Gemara says, "Yehachi had the tani b'batchel eskaven latzir," but the brisa stylistically is not going to line up because the brisa said that you should say that provided what, that one doesn't intend to trap the beast. So the Gemara says, "V'liflo v'lisne b'dida," that it should say the distinction within a better distinction. Why bring in another outside case that provided doesn't intend to trap? When is it said that someone is allowed to cover the beehive when he planned to use the combs? That is when he planned to use them. But if he did not plan to use them, it's going to be prohibited. So just stylistically, why did I go pick this random case about trapping? Just say the chiluk itself, minei bay, is when you think about it, when it's, that's going to be when it's mutter. When you don't think about it, it's going to be usher. Why do you have to bring out this other case, this the other outside case? So Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush. Hakamash malan, alpha bichachish of alem, the chiddush is, no, even if you planned on using the combs, the honeycombs, that is only going to be mutter if he doesn't intend to do tzad. If he intends to do tzad, it's going to be usher. So the Gemara now wants to know that Lefir Bitzak, who is our Mishnah following? Mimani Rabbi Shimon leis leimukta. If the Mishnah is Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, according to the way Rabbi Yitzchak wants to understand, Rabbi Shimon doesn't accept, it doesn't mean it doesn't accept mukta in general. He doesn't accept the broad application of mukta. A Rabbi Yehuda, kilo eskaven, and as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who does is more inclusive in his isser of mukta. So, you know what, let's just give a second back. There's general machlokes, just to give a word of introduction of everything we said before, that Rabbi Shimon is much more lenient when it comes to mukta as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, like we see over here. They generally will say in mukta. There's no board application of mukta as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says there is mukta. So there are machlokes, as halachas in many times of shas with regards to this. So the general assumption is that Rabbi Shimon holds that the fact that an object does not stand to be used on Shabbos is not necessarily going to postulate and make it mukta. As long as something as can be used on Shabbos, it's not going to be considered mukta. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who would say that any object that in its normal capacity is not used on Shabbos would therefore be mukta. So the Gemara was saying that this case over here, even Rabbi Shimon holds that it is something that's not normally used. So Rabbi Shimon holds that there is no issue because you can use it, it's mutter. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that what? Rabbi Yehuda holds that if it can be used but it's not normally used, it's going to be mutter unless you think about it. So the Gemara now says though, but even though you don't miskaven for trapping, Rabbi Yehuda is the one we saw before that says, davar shen miskaven, even if something is an unintentional result of your action will lead potentially to malacha, is going to be usher. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, why would he allow you to cover it with mats? You're going to be trapping, even if it's potential is only potentially going to cover it, it's still us according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah doesn't line up with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "La'olam Rabbi Yehuda." No, you can line up the Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. So then what Rabbi Yehuda says, that it's provided that someone doesn't intend to trap his bees, what did he mean? It means it means that he shouldn't make the mat a function like a trap by covering the entire hive. So you should make sure that you leave a little bit of room. You should leave room, a lot, maybe enough room that it's definitely possible the bees can escape, so that you shouldn't be trapping unintentionally. It's just important to note that Rabbi Shimon would agree though, if it was 100%, that you completely cover it, that'd be usher because he agrees subsequatia, he agrees that when something is a definite action going to be caused by everything that's going to be usher, so the post can point out that it must be that Rabbi Shimon would agree that you leave a tiny space. If you leave a tiny space, even though it's unlikely, it's still possible. If it's something that's possible, that's not considered a problem, according to Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Ashi is going to give a different answer to Rav Ukva's original kasha. Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi mar miktani b'yabosacha m'yabosach shamim. Does Rav Ashi use the lashon that dafka in the summer and the winter? No. It says in the sun. And in the sun meant to protect it from the sun, and in the rain meant from the rain. Not that there are no other honeycombs over there. This refers to the case of the time of Nisan and Tishrei, where there are sunny days and there are rainy days. That's what Rav Ashi is understanding, that we over here, that therefore when it says they learn Gishamim and Chama, they don't refer to the seasons, rather it refers to the actual rainy and sunny days during the months of Tishrei, the spring and the fall. That's what Rav Ashi wants the Taina. And therefore we would say that if that's the case, that there is honey in the hive, that meaning, and therefore it's allowed to be covered because there's definitely a lot of honey, and in the winter meant to, in the time where it's raining would also be the time when there was honey and there was no shayla, because if there's honey there, it's not going to be mukta. So the Mara now wants to bring a raya for Shitas Rav Yitzchak. Amar lehu Rav Sheshes Puku v'amar leh Rav Yitzchak Kvar Tagmar Rav Huna Shmaitach B'Vava. Go tell Rav Yitzchak Rav Huna And Bavel, Rav Yitzchak was in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Huna was in Bavel. He followed you, and he said your shita. The Amar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says, "Osin mechitza lemeis b'shvil chai." You're allowed to make a mechitza. You're allowed to create a partition, a wall for the. It's more like an awning in this situation to protect a dead body from the sun. If you put it for a living person as well. However, not allowed to create this like awning like thing to protect the mace, the dead body on Shabbos, solely on behalf of the corpse, on behalf of the dead body. So the Gemara is saying that you're not allowed to move the non-muksa item, the awning over here, you're not allowed to move it for the sake of the muksa item. So that would be what Rav Huna would be teaching us, very similar to this principle that Rav Yitzchak said. So the Gemara now says, Bahim, what is the meaning of this tishin? The Amar Shmuel, Amar Vidav, Achen Tana Shila Mari. This is what Shila Mari also said. Meis hamuta b'chama b'yam b'shnei b'nei adam v'yoshfin b'tzido. If a dead body is lying in the sun and it's going to be smelly, then two people could come and sit next to the dead body on the ground, and one on each side of the corpse. When they feel hot on the bottom, this one brings a bed and this one brings a bed, and they sit upon it, and the bed would be creating some sort of shade for the dead body. They feel hot on the top, supports an aleim. So then they bring a mat and they spread it above their heads, and then the corpse will be covered by them. Then this one will put his bed upright and then slips himself away. And then this one also slips away and puts the bed and then you have created a mechitza, you've created this awning to protect the mace. There's two points over here. Tosos point out that you're doing this whole procedure first sitting on it because you have to show that you're megala, your das, that you're not doing something for the man muktzah item. So you're taking a bed for you to sit on because a person is allowed to take a bed for him to sit on, and then you'd cover it to the mace. And then the other point, this important point over here, we have a concept called Oel Arai, a non-permanent structure that is going to be an Isser Derabanan to build on Shabbos. So the Gemara in Erevin talks about this. So you're only allowed to create a non-permanent structure of a tent if you do it opposite way. If you create it the normal way of first putting walls and then the ceiling, that's Usser. So how do you create this tent? You first put that's why you have to spread out. That's what they were doing. They spread out the tent first, the top part, the awning, and then they put the beds under because that's the opposite order. That would then create a heter, and that's why it's mutter. That's how it comes up. It's halachal meisa very often when the shuls have the big poles and they make the big talis over on Simchas Torah. So the way that they should do it is ideally first spread out the talis and then put the poles underneath afterwards, if it's possible to do it in that manner. Okay, so the Gemara now goes back. So the Gemara now says, though, going back to the din of the dead body, itmar mesa mutal b'chama, if a dead body is lying in the sun, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, hofcho mita lemita, someone should roll over the dead body from bed to bed until it reaches the shade. So since it's mukta, so we see that you can't lift the bed and carry it away. Shmuel recommends that you can be doing it in this situation until the corpse will reach a shade. That's how Shmuel allows you to do it. So the Gemara says that Rav Chanina Bar Shlomo Mishmeda Rav Amar, in the name of Rav, they say though, maniach alav kikar tinok umetaltalo, should place a loaf of bread or a tinok, right, a baby, on the dead body, and then move the dead body, because then, so we said before, when we quoted this Gemara about David HaMelech, that was what the Gemara said when Shlomo asked this kasha. So this was only permitted because of the mace. For no other case, we can just say that we have a muktzah item, just put a non-muktzah item and move the whole thing, that would not be mutter. Only in the case of the mace is this going to be mutter. So the Gemara says though, everyone agrees that if you have bread or a tinok, eventually the bread and tinok is lav dafka, anything of that nature, it's going to be mutter to move the dead body. That they're arguing in a situation where you don't have the tinok or the dead body. So what do you do? Mar savar tiltum and atach me tilto. So Rav holds that moving something indirectly is considered moving it, and therefore it's going to be usher to do it in this situation, and therefore he permits he doesn't permit rolling the corpse from bed to bed because he holds that indirect moving is a problem. However, Shmuel mar savar lo shme tilto. Shmuel holds that this is going to be Shmuel holds that this is not going to be a problem of moving muksa in this manner. Okay, so we'll stop here for today, and we'll pick up the Lema Kutanai, Mirza Hashem, tomorrow, Bez Hashem, Shukach.